Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to prayer to draw on the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this life. And excited today to have a few guests who are not, you know, I mean, if you put probably the top 10 people in the church just contributing to the faith and life of the church, our guests today are going to be in that list.
They're making big waves. Always hear about these two.
All right.
Okay. So we welcome today Dr. Edward Sree, and he is a theologian, Catholic speaker, and best-selling author. He and his wife, Beth, co-wrote Pocket Guide to Prayer with contributor Father Mark Mary Ames, CFR. The Srees also wrote The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life.
I like that. That's a great title.
Together with Curtis Martin, Dr. Sree is the founding leader of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, of which he serves as Senior Vice President of Apostolic Outreach. Beth Sree is a graduate of Benedictine College and was among the first Focus missionaries. She encourages young women, fellow wives, and mothers to meet Jesus in their call to marriage and motherhood through mentorship, small groups, and connecting one-to-one. They live in Colorado with their 8 children. Wow, great job.
That's great 8 to have kids. You guys with us.
That's awesome.
That's part of your new evangelization, I think, is just, you know, bringing new souls into existence and then sharing the gospel with them.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you with us and to talk about this topic. But I wanted to just get a little personal up front, if we can. Tell us about, you know, your journey of prayer a little bit. I mean, you've both been devout Catholics for a long time and working in the church. And that doesn't always mean, and I don't know anything about your spiritual life, so I'm not presuming anything. That doesn't always mean we have everything lined up the way we want to. I've met 2 priests, one religious, one diocesan, who said they didn't get to know Jesus till they were in their 6th year. It's just coincidentally in their work in church. And so we don't always discover these things up front, but tell me a little bit about your journey of prayer, both either one of you, and when has it been, how long has it been important to you, and kind of when did it start, that sort of thing?
Well, I'll go first here. You know, I grew up Catholic and was involved in my faith, my youth group growing up, back when many parishes didn't have youth groups. And I got a really great formation in a wonderful parish outside of Chicago many years ago in the 80s there. So I think there were beautiful seeds planted from my Catholic school, my Catholic parish, and my mom is a devout Catholic. I always saw her praying. So it was there, and I never really left the church. I don't have a dramatic story of, you know, I got involved in drugs and left Jesus Christ, and then right. I found him again. And, you know, I don't have that big kind of like story. I was always Catholic. But I would say in my young adult years from college and my young professional years before I, you know, went to the world of theology, I worked in the corporate world. Those maybe 4 to 6 years were super formative for me. I was growing in my faith, learning a lot about the Catholic tradition. I got a lot of questions from my Protestant friends on campus where I was at Indiana University, a lot of questions from my secular friends on the campus. And then I kept discovering there were great answers. So I was growing in my faith intellectually, but it wasn't just that. At the same time, there was a group at the campus that was meeting and they were praying together. They were, you know, and I was learning about Eucharistic adoration. I was learning about going to daily mass and, you know, and so I started really growing in that way in those young years. And I don't remember exactly when, but I can remember sometime there, maybe I'm close to 20, and just starting to develop the habit of daily prayer. Mm-hmm. And not just saying like a rosary or, you know, just saying Our Fathers, but actually that time for mental prayer, meditation, reflecting on the Gospels or other good spiritual books. And I'm so thankful for that. That became kind of like an anchor in very turbulent young adult years. I'm trying to sort out who am I, where is my life going? And so I would say that's where the Lord like really planted a seed. And I just had this sense, it's a grace of God, but just to never break from that. And I didn't sense it as like an obligation, like I have to go do this to show I'm a good Catholic. It was more like, Lord, I need you. I need this time. And I don't remember, I'm sure priests were teaching me about how to pray and things, but it's just, I'm so grateful because I think as I continued to grow in my life, had just having that foundation of that habit of just like, this, I just need this, like I need oxygen. And even through very dark times, times of great suffering, times where I'm wondering, where is God in my life? To just lean on him in those times still and to trust that he's there. I could look back and say those were probably the most formative times of prayer, was when I was crying out in darkness and, Lord, where is my life going? What is happening? Where are you in the midst of this? And I can look back, in the time it was painful, but I can look back at those moments, those different seasons, and see the Lord drawing me to a greater intimacy, a greater trust, a greater union. So seeds planted in childhood, and then even more in those young adult years. But I would say it's probably through those periods of trial, suffering, darkness that my prayer life has grown the most.
Beautiful. Now, Beth, what about you? I know as a focus missionary, when you were, I don't know if it's always been the same, but there's a requirement or I don't know how to frame it, but an hour of adoration. Is it an hour of adoration daily? Were you doing that when you were a focus missionary?
Or did you pray before?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was, I grew up in a Catholic household, Catholic. We were Catholic. We went to Mass, but I don't know that it went more than that. But I went to Catholic schools and I did learn about the Mass. I learned about the Rosary. I learned about the saints. Got involved in youth group, went to a Catholic college. And then when I was involved in Focus, that's when things really went deeper for me. So you're right. There is a requirement and expectation for daily prayer. I would say for me, the ups and downs of living a life of prayer with our Lord in my motherhood, the only constant there is change,
Right,
so
right.
Looking for the times and trying to be faithful to meeting our Lord. It was a real battle. And if I'm honest, it still is. My kids were home for a fall break yesterday and late last week. And whoo, I love having them home, but it's a whole other ball game. How am I going to fit these blocks, these pillars in the midst of, again, change?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Did you find that motherhood had a profound impact on, because Ed talked about how he, in those difficult times, it led him to call out to God and to say, I need your help. Did you find that your motherhood had an impact on you and your prayer time and your relationship with Christ?
Absolutely. I mean, you're on your knees to change diapers and you're on your knees as they grow and start to, leave the home and do their own things and have the capacity to really fail, there is a greater trust. I definitely grew in my devotion to Our Lady as a mom, just realizing there's so much more to this than I thought initially. Kids have a beautiful way of humbling us and making it so that we must call out to someone beyond us. We must call out to God in order to really give them what we desire to give them.
That's really beautiful.
A particular challenge that moms understand more than the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. What about as a couple? Because I know that when Dan and I first came together, we tried praying together. And that lasted for a little while. And then it wasn't bad. It was very good. But I found that we kind of needed our own space and our own time. And, frankly, I needed to get a word in edgewise with the Lord and ask him a few questions myself and listen to the response too. And I say that in jest. But did you try to pray as a couple? Did you ever try to do that before the children came along? Or have you always had kind of your own space and time to prayer?
I think it's one of the things we actually highlight in when we, you know, we do a lot of work in marriage, marriage prep, marriage enrichment. And one of the things we highlight is how important it is for the couples to have time individually. The husband needs time to pray. The wife needs time to pray. It's great when they can pray together. We stress this because a lot of like marriage prep programs talk about, oh, couples prayer is really important. You pray every day. And we believe that. And we do that. And we've done it from the very beginning where we might just extemporaneous pray together when there's a great need. We may, you know, pray for our children. We every night for all these 25 plus years of marriage, every night we do a series of prayers at the end, a little examination of conscience together and call on the Lord. And so we have an ongoing, what is it, like a 18-year novena we do every night?
Roughly. Yeah,
we have a St. Joseph novena we've been doing for 18 years. So
you
it just keeps going. I mean, it is the marathon novena. But certainly we can do a number of things together, right? But more, so much more important than couple time praying together is my wife getting time to pray every day? Am I getting time for prayer every day? And I don't think that that's talked about enough. But in other words, I liked what you were saying is that I need to have that time personally for conversation with the Lord. I need time to be filled up, to be touched by His grace so that I can then give more of myself to my wife and to my kids. And I think it's that sitting in silence, that sitting in meditation, contemplation, Lectio Divina, whatever I'm doing, but that's where God is really writing, you know, His love on my heart that helps me be a better husband and a better wife. Again, the couples praying together is really great. It's important, but not nearly as important as are you making sure you as a husband are getting time to pray every day and you as a wife and a mom getting time to pray every day? Are you making sure you're actually making sacrifices for each other so that your beloved can get that time? That is absolutely foundational for growing in holiness and in your vocation.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. This is Dan Stephanie Burke, Divine Intimacy Radio, talking with Dr. Edward Sree and his wife, Beth, co-authored a new book called A Pocket Guide to Prayer. Very excited to talk with them. When we get back, for either of you, I mean, you said something very important, Dr. Sree, and I detect something, there's more to it. I have this sense that you're very active in protecting your wife's prayer time or giving her that time, being the one who's primarily taking care of the kids and that sort of thing. When we get back, maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because I think men need to hear more of that, understand that need to really care for their wives so that they can pray. And the other thing you said that is worth more words is just this idea that when we spend time with Jesus, we are better for one another. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Dan Stephanie Burke, welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about, of course, one of our favorite topics. I remember years ago when Melissa was my co-host before Stephanie was, and a family member asked, well, what do you do on Divine Intimacy Radio? And she said, well, we talk about prayer. And she said, prayer? Like, you do more than one show on prayer? Like, what do you talk about? You know? So before the break,
it's an endless, beautiful topic.
It is
the most important.
Knowing Jesus is the most important. Yeah. Knowing, worshiping, loving, following Jesus, and we can't do any of those things unless we pray. Right. So before the break, we were just talking a little bit about your personal prayer lives. And Dr. Sri, I heard in your voice or the way you talk, because I know you're very deliberate about everything you say, I heard this commitment as a father and as a husband. Talk a little bit about that and how you help Beth in her role to pray.
Well, I'll say I'm convicted of it. I can't say I've always lived it to the best that I could. My wife could tell you that as well. But especially early on, I would say, when we had little kids, you know, and this is some advice we got from other couples that were older than us that were raising kids, is, you know, trying to figure out how are you getting this prayer time? Because it's great, you know, we're in the early days of Focus, where, you know, we were single and dating and doing our holy hours and all these other prayers. And then we get married and it's great. We're still doing the holy hours and everything. And all of a sudden baby one comes and you can bring the baby to the Adoration Chapel for a little while. Then you have to maybe stand in the back and baby number two comes. And how are you getting a holy hour in? And this is crazy, you know? And, you know, and one of the things we really highlight is for families is, you know, you have to be faithful in your daily prayer life, but it may not look the same. It may not look like it did in a previous season. But one advice we did get is, you know, maybe the husband could get up earlier in the morning and get his prayer time in. And then when the little kids are waking up, he can take care of the little kids. Like, that's what I used to do when we lived in Kansas and I was teaching at Benedictine College. I would often like get the kids dressed. I would get them fed in the morning so that Beth at that time, she could get her time in prayer. So that when she's coming down the stairs, she's already got that time with the Lord, that then now she can give the best of herself to the kids. And I've shared that advice with many guys. It's kind of like a lights on, like, oh, you know, now, you know, like, that's a great way that, you know, I'm making the sacrifice of getting up earlier to get the prayer in, but it's for the sake of the family so that I can take care of the kids, Beth can get prayer time. That's what we did early on, you know, and then that's evolved and changed over the years. Sometimes it's been, you know, maybe, you know, what would we do? Like Mondays with mommies or something?
Mm-hmm. That was, I would alternate taking kids to the Adoration Chapel with me for half an hour every Monday, switch up the kids, and then we go for ice cream. So it was just something fun. They wanted to come. They wanted ice cream. Mm-hmm. They wanted special time. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fixture, you know, of our week.
So smart.
Yeah, I miss those days. Can we bring that back?
Good. Sounds great, as long as it's dairy free, but that's another topic. It sounds so beautiful. And I think the other, you know, added benefit of that, the beauty of it, is that the kids get time with dad, you know, and that's powerful too, because you're the image of the father to them. Mm-hmm. That's who they're going to carry into their adulthood when they say, you know, who is God the Father? They're going to reflect on that time with you, Dr. Sri, and those mornings of caring and attentiveness and gentleness. People cannot underestimate the power of that, because it can be exceedingly powerful. And then your wife, as you said, is filled. She comes in with the best of herself. Because I often find that with, especially with moms, because I stress this part of prayer, my spiritual direction and retreats and such as well, that they need to be filled, because otherwise we're trying to give out of an empty vessel. And when we give out of an empty vessel, it's gonna break. It's gonna falter. But when we're filled with the Lord, everything that we do gets easier. It's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that time. Okay.
Yeah. So the question I want to ask Beth and then Dr. Sri, as you desire, Beth, what do you think is the most important kind of prayer? And I think that's, you know, it's a hard question to ask, or at least it might be on the surface. But what's the most important kind of prayer to you? You know, when I say kind or method of prayer, I mean, obviously we're talking about distinctions between vocal prayer, prayers other people have written, like the rosary and that sort of thing, or mental prayer, personal prayer, where you're just spending time personally with Jesus. How do you prioritize that? What's the top of the list for you?
Yeah. So for me, I need mental prayer. I need meditation. I need that one-on-one with Jesus. And for me, that a few years back wrote my own morning offering. I keep adding to it. And so if I can get that anchor in or as early as possible, then I know my entire day is wrapped already. You know, all my joys, work, sufferings, everything with Ted and my children and my taking care of the house and cooking and driving, all of my aspects of my day, I've already invited Jesus into. And then I get to see how he works things around and how he is present and how he endeavors to meet me there, knowing I'm still going to make time for mental prayer. I'm still going to, you know, gaze at the crucifix. I'm still going to hopefully make it to mass, spend time in the scriptures, you know, listen to things. I love to fill my mind with the Liturgy of the Hours. I have an app that will just read those out loud. It's amazing how much the scripture will stick in your head if you just make time and make the effort for that. So those are a few ways. I feel like I'm always learning and growing and incorporating things, and no 2 days are exactly the same. And I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Friends, you're listening to Dan and Stephanie Burke with our guests, Dr. Edward Sri and his wife, Beth, talking about prayer. And they have a recently published book on the topic, Pocket Guide to Prayer. Strongly recommend you pick it up by Ascension Press. You can find more about the book at ascensionpress.com/prayer. And then what's Dr. Sri's website?
EdwardSri.com.
EdwardSri.com. So my question to you, Dr. Sri, is how would you define mental prayer? There's a lot of ways to describe how one beloved talks to another beloved, but how would you boil that down?
Yeah, I'll give a simple description. Well, that's one of the things we do in the book is just try to draw from the great treasury of the church and the different ways of encountering God in prayer, whether, as you said, vocal prayer, whether it's devotional prayer, like the Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, novenas, or whether it's liturgical prayer, morning and evening prayer of the church, whether it's the sacraments or even the highest prayer, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. But one of the things we highlight in the book is that it's the tradition of meditation is like the heartbeat, and you know, contemplation would be the highest, but in terms of our personal prayer time. But that meditation is what lays the groundwork for the gift of contemplation that comes. And we try to make it really simple. Like in other words, someone just getting started. You have a friend that you're wanting them to grow in the prayer life, you know, so to introduce them to just different forms of prayer. So when it comes to mental prayer, whenever I'm explaining it to an audience, I'll just say, it's really simple. When you hear the word meditation, it can sound really esoteric, like some monk going, you know, or something. No. If you can read, you know, and even you don't even have to read because you can listen to something in it, you know, but you're engaging your mind. That's the key thing. And it could be as simple as you have a Bible verse or a passage from the Gospels that they use maybe at Mass. You can pick up a chapter from one of the scriptures and you're just reading it slowly. You're doing a prayerful reading and you're not just reading. A lot of people I see go to an adoration chapel, they're just reading the whole time. No, we don't want to turn prayer into study hall. You know, right. This is time to to feed a conversation. And there's different kinds of mental prayer. There's the great tradition of Lectio Divina, where you read the passage multiple times, you notice a certain word, you talk to God about it. Yes, Lord, but why did you say it that way? Why did you say that to the Samaritan woman? And then you just listen for a little bit. And then you ask the Lord, Lord, if I were the Samaritan woman, what would you be saying to me? You're kind of like having a dialogue with God, or you can do Ignatian meditation where you imagine yourself, you put yourself into the scene. And we talk all about those different kinds. And I think what's important is that you're allowing something from the tradition, whether it's the inspired word of God of scripture, maybe it's a text from a saint, maybe it's a good devotional book. I love those little reflections we get in Magnificat. You know, you're doing something where you're reading from the tradition, but you're not just reading it. You just read it slowly, a few lines, reflect on it, talk to God about it, listen. And that's where you're entering it's meant to feed that conversation with the Lord.
So what about for those people who have tried to pray and maybe they experience some dryness? What would your recommendation be to them?
Well, one thing I highlight is that welcome to the club. That means right. your prayer life is going great.
You have a pulse.
Yeah, like this is what all the saints struggled with. And I I can't tell you, as I've been speaking around the country on prayer this last year or two, this point here has really resonated. Like that like when you're experiencing these struggles, it doesn't mean your pro-life is all bad. St. Catherine of Siena says, I think I mentioned in the book, that many times those struggles are coming because it's the devil trying to discourage you, to get you to think your prayer is not pleasing to God.
Right.
You know, because the devil knows how powerful it is when we pray every day. And he'll use even our awareness that it's not going well to exploit that, to get us to be discouraged and think, oh, your prayer stinks. You're not good at this. You're not getting anything out of this. You're just too distracted. Your mind's wandering. God isn't really there. And those voices aren't coming from God. They're coming from the devil, who wants to discourage us and get us to break our commitment to daily prayer. So Catherine says to persevere, to never give up, to remember prayer is not about your feelings, about the consolations you receive. Love resides in the will. And yeah. I need to make the act of the will and just show up and be there for God and trust he's really there, even if I don't feel him.
Yeah, the secret, I think, is if somebody asked me, what's the one secret to progress in prayer? Just show up every day. Mm-hmm. And if you want help with this, if this conversation has been interesting to you and you're thinking, you know, I need to begin to practice prayer at a deeper level, pick up the Pocket Guide to Prayer. And you can find that at ascensionpress.com/prayer. Dr. Edward Sri and his wife, of course, are folks that you can completely trust regarding their faithfulness to the magisterium. And anything they produce is going to help you in the faith. So we pray and ask the Lord to bless their work and continue to bless their marriage and their children so that they can be fruitful into future generations, even as I know we are with our own son. So if you want to grow in prayer, pick up Pocket Guide to Prayer, and you can find that again at ascensionpress.com/prayer.
Okay, so until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.